and you think you everything you can, everything they can do or they can get, I can do, and I can do it better, right? Like, they made a podcast, I can make a better podcast. We think we can do everything better because all we see is success. We see all these success stories, and that's Hello, hello, Tev. Today, I think it's important that I start off by saying happy birthday to you, my good sir. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
To you.
Thank you, sir.
The big mark, Kevin Tai.
We made it.
It is officially
another milestone. Yeah, we made it. We made it.
A year doing this. Yesterday. I can't believe. Can you believe it?
It's
been a full year creating content, sparking conversation, coming on here and, I guess, increasing our perspective of the world, of each other.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say has been your highlight so far of the past year being on it?
Okay, so I actually wanted to ask you if you, off the top of your head, know what your favorite episode was. I know what mine was. And I'll say just openly, there's lots of episodes to love for different reasons, I think, you know, but I think the one that I felt like the best about, that I think I enjoyed the most recording, was probably the one with Nato. The live one in Madeira was really fun as well, but the one with Nato, I just felt like we were professional on that one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like, first of all, his sound was phenomenal. We asked really good questions. It was funny. There was a lot to enjoy. So I think that was my favorite one. Do you have a favorite episode?
Top of my head is also going to lean towards Nato's one. Nato, I think, as you said, we asked really good questions. There was a good vibe in the room and in the episode. And he's a really good character. Like, his personality works really well with us. Vibes with the Wives was also a highlight for me. Got to pick up a few. Notable, I think, lessons, should I say, from that. Mm-hmm. Another favorite for me was the cultural differences. Would this happen in your country? I think that was interesting to see what life looks like in Thailand, in South Africa, in the UK. That was really interesting for me. So thank you for making this such an epic journey, such an enjoyable one.
It's been good.
Every minute of it thus far. And I know we have a few episodes coming up in the pipeline that are really, really sick. I think they're going to actually take us to a whole new level, but I'm so grateful that I've been able to be a part of this.
Same here. I wanted to actually ask you, so maybe I'll start off. I've been reading up about, like, how to podcast, what to do, etc. Because obviously we want to get better at it. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why you do the podcast. What is it about this that you enjoy doing? And if you have any advice for anyone else thinking of starting a podcast or starting something like this. But before I give it to you, I'll just explain from my side real quick. So one of the things that I read about how to podcast better is to tell a story, right? And I think for me, I always wanted to, I always liked the idea of being like a radio presenter. I think I've mentioned this before, like not Wackhead Simpson, because I'm not the biggest fan of him, but like that kind of vibe. I always, always really liked the thought of doing that as a job. And then I started listening to podcasts. I found them during COVID. I found some really, really good ones. And I can actually recommend a few, just two off the top of my head. The first one is actually called We're Here to Help. It's with the guy from New Girl, Jake Johnson, Nick. It's a call-in show where people ask for advice and he gives advice. It's really good. It's really funny. It's really, really nice to listen to. You know, I like Shits and Gigs, but I don't think it's the best for all audiences. But the second one I'm going to recommend is it's called The Footballers Football Podcast. That's where Mikel Antonio and Callum Wilson do a podcast every week. They talk about what happened on the field. So that's pretty amazing. And then Troy Deeney and Jermaine Defoe do another one where they also talk about their perspective. I've always wanted to do it. I got into podcasting. I loved it. And I realized that I thought about who could I do this with, because I didn't want to do it alone. Hit you up. You're the first person I thought of. And I was like, let's do this thing together. So it was one, a chance to practice like my creativity. And it was two, an opportunity, I think, for you and I to build our friendship, to have a reason to contact one another, to have like that lean into friendship. And that's kind of why I wanted to do it. And in terms of advice, sorry, I'm rattling through this. In terms of advice, I just think what I would say is just go for it. I think a lot of people think they can't. So I'm just like, yeah, just go for it. Just do it. You don't know until you know. I won't say we were a raving success in that we're making racks of money and getting millions of views, and that's not what it's about. But we're enjoying it, and I would recommend doing this kind of thing to anyone that wants to do this kind of thing. So how about you? Why do you do it, and what advice do you
have? Oh, so right on the back of what you said, definitely put yourself out there. It's, I think it's helped me stay and move out of my comfort zone. I'm generally a person that has many ideas and I don't necessarily act on them. I'm like, but what if it's a flop? What if no one likes it? What if I end up not liking it? What if? And then I rattle off a number of these excuses that just leave me in the same position there. So it's great to have an accountability partner that encourages me to go for it, go for gold. If it flops, who's going to know? It's us. It's something I think that has been the real differentiator in this, is that regardless of what everyone else thinks, that's very much secondary. If it's something that you and I enjoy, if it's a topic that we have interest in, then that's what it's all about fundamentally. Everyone else is a bonus. So to have a space to, one, connect to us, one of my best mates, to have constant interactions, to have someone's brain I can probe and to get further perspective, I think it's something that we constantly talk about. It's been a place where I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about you. I've learned a lot about the world. And it's given me a joy to come up here and also have this, I guess, to an extent, it's a bit of presentation skills that are being learned that can possibly be used one day, maybe on radio, as you say, maybe as a club's part of the media team. You know, we don't know where this could go, but it's given us such a firm foundation. And I just love getting to just create content. It's so fascinating to me to find something that is of interest to us and build a complete episode or story around it. The second thing is the editing and the visual aspect of it. So getting to play around, try new things, where if we were to do it as an occupation, there are a few more guidelines and kind of firm boundaries to work within. Yep. Whereas for us, we have carte blanche. We can literally do what we want, and if it works for us, then that's great. In terms of podcasts, to look out for, one that I've been watching quite a lot of recently is Diary of a CEO. I think his name is, his surname's Bartlett. I forget what his first name is, but he interviews a lot of notable people in a variety of occupations. So he had Ivan Toney on one talking about football and what happened with the betting charges. He had a expert on how to make better life decisions. He had a finance expert. He has so many people that he interviews, and it gives a lot of insight into a number of aspects of life. So that's one that I really enjoy, something to go and look out for. And then there's obviously the Big Five with Tim and Ty. It varies across the board for kind of subject matter that we speak about. So if you're into sports, if you're into news, if you're into current trends, if you're into politics, if you're into culinary arts, man, we've got it for you. And I can't say that there isn't anything not to like about this podcast. I absolutely love with it. And a year on from it, I still think we're in our infancy, but it's honestly on the up and up, and I'm just so glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And yeah, Diary of a CEO, I do like it. It's a bit long, though, I won't lie. The episodes can be a bit like 2 hours sometimes. I'm like, yo, I don't know if I can do this. But there are some really, like, he has like really, really good guests on there. So that's really, really cool. So yeah, for today, what we wanted to talk a little bit about is the idea of being your best, as we are trying to be week in, week out. And we know we're not always our best, and we know sometimes we record an episode and we kind of like, yo, don't know about that one, but we're going to go with it anyway. And Tev, I know you wanted to talk a little, you wanted to start off with a quote from the man himself, Big Mick, and you had a direction you wanted to go with it. So mic's yours, brother.
As you're donning a Super Mick Arteta attire there, I felt it was only relevant for me to bring up his quotes a number of weeks back where he was questioned about his starting 11. And he said, look, there's no position that's safe. We don't have a set or guaranteed position in or guaranteed start in any of the positions. And that made me think about how competition in life is a good thing, because it pushes us to kind of be the best version of ourselves that we can be. So that's in regards to your occupation, in regards to relationships, in regards to pretty much everything in life. And I wanted to try and pick out or figure out, when was it that we no longer try to be the best? I mean, when you start off in primary school, you're kind of mapped out what you want to be when you grow up. That's one of the most prevalent questions you get asked as a youngster. What do you want to be when you grow up? And you get responses like, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a football star, I want to be a scientist, a lawyer, etc., etc. The list goes on. And as you gradually start growing up, you get exposure to new fields, new directions. You obviously start mixing with different friendship groups. So what your initial idea was for your life doesn't necessarily pan out.
Yeah.
And I've found that generally, once people get into the working world, there's a level of comfort that comes with, firstly, just having a job, and that's almost like the cap or the ceiling.
Yeah.
In terms of relationships, I think, and I think I alluded to this previously, that marriage is almost seen as the finish line. Like, once you're married, boom, you're done. That's it. That's the ceiling. Whereas there's so much more that happens beyond marriage. There's so much, there's a greater level of love, of intimacy, of understanding, of teamwork that goes into life. And I think I would probably mark it off as post-university. Once you get into the working world, I think that's more, it's a bit more prevalent when things start to become a bit more diluted and people become happy with just being
content,
average.
Yeah.
I don't know if you share the same sentiment.
So I do, to an extent. I think what you're saying has a lot of truth to it. I do think that it's crazy. Like, when you said like your life is mapped out when you're in primary school, I was like, what? That's crazy. But when you explained a little bit more, especially when you were like, okay, in the beginning, they asked you, what do you want to be? I want to be an astronaut. And gradually, you know, your goals and your intentions start, I wouldn't say become smaller. I also wouldn't say become more realistic, because realistically we do need astronauts and stuff. But I guess it kind of does become a little bit more like, oh, that's cute. He's in grade one and he wants to be an astronaut. So I do think it does kind of change. And I do think a lot of comfort does start to slip in. So even like within relationships, right? Arguably, when you start dating, you put the best version of yourself forward because you're trying to impress this person in whatever way that is. And whether that be opening the car door for your girlfriend or your partner at the time. Actually, funny enough, something you and I spoke about just before we started recording. Whether you have less beers on that date because you don't want to make a bad impression. Whether you, I wouldn't say lie about it. I mean, we know lots of people lie about who they are in relationships. But whether you like tell like little white lies about like things that, you know, etc. And then the more comfortable you get, the more, I would almost say, complacent you become at times, you know. And I think it's really sad, but I think it's the truth, you know, of the matter. And also, like, in the working world, you know, your aspirations sometimes change. Some people are happy to stay in the same place or same job for years on end. I do think with our generation that has changed, we're not happy with staying. They say, like, we recycle jobs more than other generations. Like previous generations, like our parents would stay for 30, 40 years in a place. And I think there was a little bit more kind of contentment and staying where you are, where I think we, our generation seeks more, whether it's more freedom, more personal time, more money, more room for growth. That's, some people have that and some people don't. And interestingly, this is actually something that I spoke to with a friend of mine just before I left Thailand. He's an artist. And he was talking about how much he's enjoyed living in Thailand. He actually went, he came to Italy, funny enough, and then he's going back to the UK for a solo exhibition. But we were talking about how we need conflict in our life and how you need a challenge in your life and how that's an important thing. And I think for me, one of the things I pride myself on is, you know, I have a lot of goals that I hope to achieve, and I feel like I do a lot of things. And even within my relationship, I believe, you know, Katia and I kind of, we challenge each other and we push each other to expect more of ourselves and we expect more of one another. And although it can be difficult at times, I think it's a really, really good thing, you know. But when do we stop trying to be our best? I think that's a great question. And a question that I actually wanted to ask you is, like, do you think it's a bad thing to become content? Should we always be pushing, pushing, pushing? Like, you know, when we say, like, oh, why did you stop trying to be your best? Like, what do you think? Do you think it's okay to become content in some areas of your life? Or should we always be pushing on to the next? New fridge, new house, new this, new better, get better, get better. Or is there an element of being content with what you got that you think belongs in life?
I definitely think there is a need for contentment. I understand that certain aspects, I think it's a balance. Honestly, it is a balance. And I guess it's a personal requirement to think about what that looks like for each individual. Because one of the interesting discoveries that I'd come across from a employment point of view, I'd read on LinkedIn, I don't know when this was exactly, but someone had said, what about people that feel like their current position is a bit too much for them? So say I am a mid to senior graphic designer and I feel like workload wise I'm not surviving, pay is exactly what I need and exactly what suits my lifestyle, but from a workload point of view and a mental health point of view, I'm not coping. And there was a suggestion that instead of always seeing people ask for promotions when it comes to monthly or quarterly appraisals, that kind of thing, there was an individual that asked for a demotion in their position. And I was fascinated by this. No one ever speaks about something like this. So this person was in a mid to senior ranking position and the workload was just too much. So if they had asked for a demotion, so having slightly fewer responsibilities, obviously that means slightly less money at the end of the month. But in terms of being in a healthier mental space, and from a capacity point of view, they were able to have a better balance of work and life. That for me embodies what the perfect contentment would look like. Something that's very relatable to the individual and it works for them. It's a bit of perspective that I'd never considered. I'd never thought. It's always almost an upward trajectory. So you've never seen that once I make it to management level, I'm now a supervisor or whatever. I should bring myself back down for the sake of my health. I think that was the one, I guess, myth bust for an occupation point of view. Contentment, I think when it comes to assets, that kind of thing, and relationships, I think contentment in the context of your partner that you want to build a life with, that should be number one on the list of contentment. You've found someone that you want to do life with, you know it, you commit to this person. And I think what we've seen in our generation is that, I don't know if I would classify it as commitment issues, but there's more so not as many people are keen on, when I say settling down, there's more grace given to people just finding someone or many people that that they can do life with. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term thing, is as long as there's some form of company in their lives.
Okay.
That's what I found for our particular generation. So for me, contentment in that aspect is crucial. But the flip side of that is that you should always have an accountability partner in whoever your partner is. So someone
yeah.
is willing to push you to be the best version of yourself.
Yes.
Sorry, that was very long-winded. I do think it is a balance. You need to have... be content in some aspects and look to drive yourself. And that's a personal thing. That's something that only you as an individual can answer. You can obviously get a lot of influence and suggestion from your partner, from your boss, from your colleagues, from your family. But ultimately, the decision resides with you on where you are in your life and what you want from your life. What about
yeah.
you?
Yeah. No, I think what I found is like, so just in terms of like the kind of what you're talking about in terms of our generation and finding that is a lack of a commitment thing. I think with us, there's a lot of fastness to our life. So like everything is quick. Fast fashion, for example, clothes are not made to last. You don't make commitment to quality clothing to an extent because you buy clothing that is cheap, not cheap, but more affordable. And the idea is to wear it once or twice and recycle and change. The way we consume media, TikTok videos, Instagram reels, everything. Short, sweet, fast, move on. You know, like keep it at a minute, under a minute. That's the content that I want because I'm ready to see something new. So quick. And I think when you build that culture, even when we're talking about changing jobs, when you build that culture of, I don't want to say recycling because it's not the right word, but that culture of like fast, quick, we got to change. I need new, I need more, I need quick. You know, that's kind of like the idea when, if that's what you're consuming in a media aspect, if that's what you're consuming in a fashion aspect, if that's what you're consuming in a lot of different ways, why would it be any different when it comes to a relationship, right? If you don't like a TV show, you stop watching it, you watch a new one. There's, I'm not saying everybody, but I do, I think that adds to like, yeah, I think that's why there's also like sometimes a lack of, you know, I don't want to say a lack of commitment, but a lack of like commitment, I suppose. I don't know if it's the right word because I don't want to like, say like our generation doesn't have that because you and I are part of our generation and this is who we are. Ruben is part of our generation and this is who he is. It's not a blanket statement, but I do think this fast lifestyle kind of also adds to it. But at the same time, also us and younger generations are being exposed to Instagram and etc., which is almost a fake life where we know people post what's not really true. And you think everything they can do or they can get, I can do, and I can do it better, right? Like they made a podcast, I can make a better podcast. We think we can do everything better because all we see is success. We see all these success stories. And that's actually where Diary of a CEO is quite nice in that sense because Dele Alli came on and he spoke a bit about like the mental challenges behind football. You know, there's some realness to that kind of stuff. But again, listen to me. I was like, I struggle with Diary of a CEO because it's too long. Am I not just, I'm in the epitome of what I'm saying, you know, as well. So there's also that side, you know, kind of to think about. And yeah, I think that's like a big part of it. So, but I do think that there is a return. We are kind of getting back. I think we are becoming more conscious of things. We are starting to pay attention to who we are as individuals. I think there's a big return towards like sustainability in the world, but I think that's an episode by itself, so we won't touch on that. But there is a desire by our generation to kind of do stuff and you know, not really become a jack of all trades, you know, like to actually try and master something and to aspire to be their best. But you know, on that note, and just to wrap it up here, I wanted to actually just ask you, is there something in your life? So we do a lot of things, both of us, you and I are quite busy. We're quite hobby people. We both in obviously serious relationships, if you want to call it that, both with our wives and with one another. so is there anything that you, just as a closing thought, that you want to pursue, something that you want to get better at in your life?
Yeah, a number of things. First one would be communication and communication style. I think I've been really set in my own ways, and that's presented a bit of a challenge sometimes when trying to communicate with people who have a different style to me. I think that just comes with time. It comes with practice. So the more you do it, the more I'd get comfortable with it, and the better I'd be as a person to better communicate my thoughts, my feelings, my opinion, but as well as understand other people's. From a career point of view, I'd like to become a better audio editor. I'd like to become a better video editor. I'd like to learn how to be a good marketer, as well as dive into maybe graphics or motion graphics. Again, these are all just things that I'm putting out there as things I'd like to accomplish. I think it's a matter of putting actual dates and I guess, yeah, markers on each of them. And then I'd also just like to constantly be my own accountability partner. So a bit more of that. I think, as I said earlier in the episode, that I'd have a lot of ideas, that I have a lot of thoughts, and it's been quite a few occasions where I've either talked myself out of it or I've put it on pause until the ideal time when I feel would be best to kick things off. So to kind of put pressure on myself to be better, I think there comes points in our lives where we become so comfortable, man, with where we are, and that just plateaus. So we feel like, okay, cool, I've accomplished this, and then remain stagnant at that level for some time. So to kind of always encourage myself for self-improvement, those would be my three aspects. What are you looking to be better at?
I quite like that. I like that. So I think also just if it's if it helps at all, I think also what does tend to happen with certain individuals is that we get to a point in our lives where I don't think, again, contentment is bad. I think sometimes, and I don't even think plateauing is necessarily bad. I think we do actually, as human beings, need to understand that at some point you have to just respect as well where you are and what your limits are, you know. I think that's also important. But I think, thankfully, the universe or life or God or whatever it is that you believe in has a way of presenting you with what you need to take the next step. And whether or not you take that next step is up to you. So you are presented with a challenge, and you can either rise to that challenge or rise to that occasion, or you don't. And it's not always a bad thing if you don't. You may not be ready. But I do believe that, again, whatever it is that you believe in, life, universe, God, Allah, whoever it is that you believe in, I think that energy gives you the challenge that you need to reach that point, whether it be in the form of your partner that you find yourself with, you know, like that person challenging you in ways that you may not like. You may not always be ready to deal with, and then maybe you break up, I don't know, or you don't, or you stay with that person and you do challenge yourself and you push yourself, whether it be having a child. If that's the point of your life that you're at, that can be the next thing that, you know, sometimes you realize, I'm not even doing this for myself anymore, I'm doing this for my family, and that's a push factor. So I think life does tend to do that. For me personally, you know, I've had a lot of time to think, especially now being, as I like to say, on sabbatical, about like where my life is going and what I want to be better at. You know, there's definitely things that I want to be better at. Same as you, I want to hold myself accountable, not just be accountable to people in my life, not just accountable to you or to Katya. I must be as accountable to myself. I think that's an important thing. And I want to, within my career, I have certain goals that I'd like to pursue. I think I'm doing well in that regard. We'll have to see, you know, over the next year where that moves to. But yeah, I'd like to, there's definitely areas as a teacher I want to improve. I won't go into too much detail with that because it's probably a bit boring, but yeah, there's definitely areas within my career that I want to improve. And yeah, I think just kind of that's it. And like, I want to improve as a friend to like people that I don't really have a strong relationship with. I want to make a commitment to rebuilding friendships, you know, and not passing blame, because one of my favorite things to do is to say, oh, but a cell phone works two ways. And it's like that you're just shifting accountability away from yourself, you know. Oh, you haven't spoken to this friend for so long. I like to tell myself, yeah, but they haven't spoken to me. But that's not good enough. That you can't control what other people do. You control what you do. So that is another area that I would really like to improve. And another area I'd like to improve is on the podcast. And we can only do that is with support and help and feedback, etc. So if anyone, if you're still with us, please do share this with a friend, even if it's a snippet. We're going to get back onto more of the social medias now that we've got a little bit more stability of where we're at. We're going to try up the engagement quality. We're going to try get some special guests on. We have some big plans, but please for now, like, share, subscribe. We've been here for a year. You guys are still with us. We love you for that. And yeah, I think for me, that was my final thoughts. We love everyone that's here and that's still with us. We love everyone that's been on this journey with us. We love all the feedback, the criticism, the help, the guests. We love it all. So thank you to everybody. Tev, any closing thoughts from you?
Just to second that, we are an open forum. If you have suggestions of things that have piqued your interest that you'd like to hear us chat about, that you'd like to have broadcast and kind of get a bit more feedback and perspective on, we are so open to hearing all of those ideas. And we just want to thank you so much keeping us going. It is sometimes a lonely journey between Ty and I, and it's nice to then get the feedback and encouragement. Not necessarily, I'm not just going to call it criticism because it is helpful. So it really does mean a lot to us when you do engage with us, be it on our Spotify polls, be it on our Instagram pages, TikToks. It really does mean a lot that you do find this relevant to you, that you find interest in this, and that just helps us continue and push on to keep trying to make a better show. So thank you so much for this. We, as Ty said, have big plans upcoming, and we're just really happy to do this, man. It's such a joy to do the show, honestly.
Yep, and we love you guys, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Yep.